you know, how should I say, you know, handsome, good looking, you know, without some tan. But anyway, actually, I met your cousin, you know, a few months ago when I preached with him in Victoria, you know, Pastor Jim, in your brother, yeah. Not Jim. I mean the one in the 10th Avenue.
Oh,
Andrew. I'm sorry, Andrew. Andrew, you know, pardon me, this old man now. I was asked to by Kevin to kind of brief you with some of the things that I've been doing, you know, in the past 14 months in my sabbatical, and allow me to do so before I preach. You know, since last July, actually July 2014, until August this year, I was in holiday as well as in a, I have been in holiday and also in a sabbatical. And for this 14 months, I was privileged to teach in a few places. Also preach in a few summer camps, and I kind of counted. I preached, you know, for about 180 times so far, and until the end of August. But I guess the most rewarding experience might be the one that I had for the last 2 months. When I travel with my wife to the Scandinavian country and also the northern part of Germany, for 6 weeks, we traveled to three cities in Sweden and three cities in Norway, and also to Copenhagen, Denmark. And for 2 weeks, we spent 2 weeks in 14 cities in northern Germany. Some of them we just visit, but many of them we had a chance to minister, like those six cities in the Scandinavian. We spend basically 1 week in each city. So, you know, I would really like to thank you for your prayer, and also hope that you would continue to pray for the Chinese churches there. There's a great potential, especially in those countries, because if you go to those countries to study universities, you don't need to pay a dime. You don't need to pay anything. Of course, you need to live by yourself. You need to still pay for the room and board, but you don't need to pay for tuition. For whatever reason, I don't know. Okay, you said that, you know, what's so good about Germany and Sweden or Norway or Denmark? Well, depending on what you study, right? You know, if you still remember, IKEA came from Sweden, H&M came from Sweden, and Volvo came from Sweden, and you happen to drive a Porsche, it is a German make car, and if you go a little bit lower, you go to Mercedes-Benz, it's still a German car, and even a little bit lower, BMW is a German car. So if you study car engineering, so this is the place to go. So depending on what you study, if you study philosophy, they have great philosophers like Kant and also Karl Marx. And if you study organ, okay, even music, you know, they have Beethoven and Brahms and Bach. So depending on what you study, so many people, especially from mainland China, go there to study. Of course, you have to learn German. You have to learn maybe Swedens or Norwegians, but yet many people do. And I just want to ask you if you remember them in your prayer, then I think that they will appreciate that. In this 14 months, I had a chance to preach in this Pacific Grace for four times, and whenever I come, I usually preach for the morning and a mid-afternoon Cantonese service. And also, I alternate between the Mandarin as well as the English. Actually, allow me to say this. I prefer to preach in English than Mandarin. And despite, you know, my English is not as good as my Cantonese, but definitely it's better than Mandarin, okay? It is hardly comprehensible, okay, in the strict Beijing standard. But they are very appreciative for me to go there. And I really enjoy preaching to you, even though, as Kathy said, that I need to preach three times, and I enjoy that. And I could not attend the funeral of Gina's dad because I need to preach in Owen Leung's church this afternoon at 2:00, okay? And so preaching on Sunday is my job, okay? And I enjoy it, especially preaching to you. And especially after 20 years serving in Pacific Grace, all my sermons are old sermons that have been preached here, including this one. Because I guess, you know, after a few years, actually after a few months, or even after a few weeks, you forget all my sermons. So I might as well just go ahead and preach some old sermons, but with some new applications and illustrations, hopefully, just like this one. So let us pray. Our dear Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to pray especially for Gina's family. We pray that especially for her mom, after the loss of Gail, it is not easy to take another loss within a year. I pray that you would help the whole family to go through the situation, especially knowing that Mr. Wong is now in your hands because he expressed his willingness to believe in you. I pray for the church. I pray for all the different things going on, the follow-up of the community day and the continued passion for mission. I pray for this summer, as different people go on holidays, that you would bless us and bless and give them journey mercies. Continue to be with us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Allow me to ask you a question that might be embarrassing to some of you. You don't need to answer me. When was the last time you cried? And for what reasons you cry? Well, you said that I don't remember. You know, it has been a long time. Or maybe you said, oh, you know, Pastor, you know, you should have mentioned that. You know, it was last Christmas. I received my favorite Christmas gift, a Samsung smartphone. And then I was so immersed in playing it, and then I need to go to the washroom, and then the smartphone just slipped out of my hand and went into the toilet, the John's. And then when I tried my best to get it out as fast as I could, and then it didn't work. Well, even though I didn't cry, but I felt so sad. Or maybe you said, well, Pastor, you shouldn't mention this. Because about 2 months ago, I got this new car. And then I seldom went to Chinatown, and then I parked in Chinatown that day, and then I got a scratch from who know who. Or maybe there were other reasons that you cry, okay? Because of the loss of your beloved dog, or because of the loss of something that you treasure, or because of maybe you couldn't get to see Lion King. Or maybe, you know, you want to see Terminator. Is it on yet? And then you couldn't get a seat you like. Well, you might not cry out, but you might feel sad. Allow me to introduce to you a person that I think in the Bible that cried the most. Well, at least if not the most, cried the most in Genesis. And his name was Joseph. If you look at chapter 37 to chapter 50, there's 14 chapters. the events of Joseph were recorded. It was recorded that he cried seven times. Comparing to his dad, Jacob, whose event were recorded from chapter 27 to 35, nine chapters, and Jacob only cried four times. And the main character of Genesis, Abraham, cried only once. Well, at least I should say, it was recorded that he cried only once. Now, why did Joseph cry that much? Now, of course, you would say that, oh, it's easy because he got a sad life. He got a lot of painful experience. He was betrayed by his brothers. And then while he was in Egypt, you know, he was accused of trying to rape his master's wife wrongly. And then he was put into jail. And after he was put in the jail, he got a chance to interpret the dream of a cupbearer. And after he interpreted rightly the dream of that cupbearer, supposedly the cupbearer should mention him to Pharaoh, but he did not do that until 2 years later. So he got lots of reasons to cry. Maybe so. But interestingly enough, that if you look at the records of his crying, we found out that he cried seven times. And all seven times were not during those painful experiences. Now, I did not know whether he cried during those sad instances of his betrayal, of his accusations. I did not know. But the Bible did not say he cried. However, after he became the right-hand man of Pharaoh, it was recorded that he cried. He cried seven times. And out of those seven times, the bulk of it, five times he cried for his brothers. Two times he cried for his father. After many years, he at last got a chance to see his brother, see his father. Then they embrace and cry. And after his father died, he cried. Not only he cried, the whole Egypt cried. So let us look at why he cried and how he cried for his brothers. Well, then you may say, you know, what is it to me? You know, why if you tell me this guy, you know, about his crying? I didn't cry for my brother. I don't even have a brother. Crying actually reflect the value of our lives. Why we cry over the dysfunctioning of a smartphone? Why we cry because of a dent in a car? Why we cry because we lost our beloved dog? Why we cry because of this? Why we cry because of that? It did reflect how we look at life. Let us see, let us learn from the crying of Joseph. Let us get into his story. Five times he cried for his brother. You know, we all know that, you know, 20-some years ago, you know, Joseph was sent or sold to Egypt by his 10 brothers, to be exact, maybe by his 9 brothers. And through the Ishmaelites. But, you know, after 20-some years, basically, you know, he raised up and became, you know, the second man of the whole land of Egypt, only after Pharaoh. And he let the Egyptians go through 7 years of plenty, and then in the second year of famine, of drought, his father, who still lived in Canaan, sent his 10 brothers, 10 older brothers, not with his younger brother Benjamin, sent the 10 brothers to go to fetch food in Egypt. Now, of course, those 10 brothers did not recognize this guy, okay, high up on the chair, but Joseph recognized them. And the Bible said he remembered the dreams. And then he talked to his brothers. You guys are spies. Oh, we are not spies. You know, we just want to come to search for food. No, you come to look at the undefended parts of our land. No, we had a father and we had 12 brothers. And one of them was gone. And then the one that our father loved the most was with the father. No, you were spies. You tried to come and see, you know, our land. And unless you are telling me the truth by proving to me that you indeed had a younger brother, and then one of you is going to go back and all the others will be sent to jail until he come back with the younger brother. So he throw the 10 of them into jail, and then for 3 days, he changed his mind. Joseph changed his mind. Might be because he know that if he just send one of them back, all he could bring is one man's food. But there are so many people, so many relatives he had in Canaan that were looking for food. So he changed his mind. So one man was going to stay here, and then all 9 would go back, and then you could only come back with your brother, younger brother, telling me, proving to me that you spoke the truth, and then I would let this man go. Right at that moment, his brother said something. They said, well, we were guilty. We were guilty that, you know, many years ago when our younger brother, you know, showed his distress to us, we did not have pity on him. And now this sin came to us. And then the oldest brother, Reuben, told them, I told you before that you should have pity on our brother. And then right at that moment, after they said that, without realizing that actually that was being understood by this second-hand man of Pharaoh, Joseph cried. The Bible said they did not realize that Joseph could understand them since he was using interpreter. He turned away from them and began to weep, but then turned back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken from them and bound before their eyes. Now, of course, you have to ask, why Joseph cried? I think, at least 2 reasons. Joseph cried because, first of all, he realized that 20-some years ago, not all 10 brothers were against him. Actually, Reuben had tried to save him. Now, as I said, Reuben was the oldest brother. You know, he need to be accountable to the well-being of all his brothers when he went back to see their fathers, Jacob. So I'm sure that in Reuben's mind, might be he hate Joseph's guts as his other brothers. But yet, he tried his best to protect his brother. So when this brothers tried to kill him, he said, why will you kill this guy? Just throw him in the pit. But might be he left for a little while. And then a group of Ishmaelites came along. And then Judah said, hey, it was no good for us. What's so good about just throwing this guy on the pit? So let's, you know, get him out and then sell it to the Ishmaelites. And that was done without the knowledge, most likely, of Reuben. So Reuben came back, and most likely he said those things. So when Joseph heard what Reuben said, he suddenly realized that out of his 10 brothers, not all of them were against him. But secondly, I think the more important reason for him to cry was he suddenly realized that these 9 brothers of his felt guilty of their sins, felt sorry about what they have done to him before. And because of that, he cried. Now, I'm sure that this 9 or even 10 of them did not say this for the first time. For the past 20-some years, I think that whenever they encounter something, they could not handle. Whenever they encounter something that did not know the reason, especially when they encounter an incident like this one that they were kind of falsely accused of, they would say things like that. We were guilty. We were guilty. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, Joseph cried because he saw the repentance of his brothers. Did we ever cry for the repentance of others, especially those we know, and even those in our families who have not yet known Christ? Okay, the story goes on. And then, of course, Simeon was taken out. We did not know the reason why Simeon was chosen. It was chosen by Joseph. Sometimes I thought, might be, okay? You know, when Joseph was thrown into the pit, you know, he kicked him into the pit. Or when Joseph was taken out from the pit, he slapped on Joseph's face. Okay, I don't know why. I don't know why Simeon was being chosen. But anyway, Simeon was chosen. And then Reuben with the other eight went back, and then it was simple. Just talk to Jacob, right? And then, you know, blah, 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 what happened? And then now just give us, or give me Benjamin, and then I'll take him, and then we can get more food there. And also, you know, we can take the Simeon back. It was such a simple request. But however, Jacob say no. If you look at the Bible, it was interesting that why he said no. He said that Joseph was gone. Now Simeon, I did not know where he was now. And now you are trying to take my beloved son away. You will bring my gray hair down to Sino in sorrow, in chapter 42, verse 38. He did not consent to the request of Reuben. So Reuben couldn't do anything. And then, well, they ate the food from Egypt. But after a little while, all food was gone. All grains were gone. And Jacob this time asked Judah. Now Judah apparently was, even though he was the fourth in the family, he held quite a significant position. Not only among the brothers, but even in the eyes of Jacob. And then Jacob asked Judah this time, go and get some food. Where did I go? The only place, as far as we know, in this world, having food is Egypt, and we could not go back to Egypt without Benjamin. I assure you, if you let me take Benjamin with you, with us, then we will definitely get Simeon back and also get the food back. And I would bring Benjamin back. He assured his father. Now, what choice that his father had? There was no food. Unless they were willing to die of famine, he had to let Judah and the other eight take Benjamin. So, they did so. And it was recorded the second time that Joseph cried. As he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin, his own mother's son, all the other ten brothers of Joseph and Benjamin, they were born of another mother. He asked, is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about? And he said, God be gracious to you, my son. Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into his private room and wept there. Now, of course, this was easy. Why he cried? Because he had not seen his brother for a long time. How long? Just now I mentioned 20 some years. If you look at chapter 37, verse 2, it was recorded that Joseph was 17 when he herded the sheep with his brothers. I had reason to believe that not long after he herded the sheep with his brother, he was sold. Why? Because his brothers did not even allow him to go with them. That was why that he was asked to search for his brothers by his father, Jacob, to look, see whether they were good or the sheep were good. So I had reason to believe that he was sold at 17. Chapter 41, verse 46. When Pharaoh saw Jacob, Joseph was 30 years old. So 13 years in Egypt, right? And then 7 years of plenty, 20 years. And then chapter 45, verse 6. And the second year of the famine year, that means 22 years, Joseph had not seen his brother for 22 years. Now, of course, the Bible did not say how old was Benjamin when Joseph was 17. He might be 16, he might be 6 years old, he might be 6 months old. The Bible did not say. If he was only 6 months old, if there were diapers at that time, diapers, not necessarily disposable diapers, there were diapers at that time, I had reason to believe that Joseph had even changed the diapers of Benjamin before. Now, of course, we didn't know. But at any rate, all I could say that after 22 years, this guy, this used to be an infant, a toddler, an adolescent, and now became a young person, or even an adult, or even a middle-aged man. Of course, he was moved. He was moved to see the growth of his brother. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, have we cried for the maturity of our brothers in the church, of our sisters in the church? Have we cried? Have we put efforts in the next generations in the church? Now, of course, the story goes on. We all know the story. Then Simeon was let go, and then they were given food, and then they were sent away, right? But not long after they left Egypt, they were taken over by the steward or the butler, in the English term, of Joseph's house. Why did you guys did evil in return for the good of my master? What did we do? What did we do? You have stolen the silver cup of my master. That's nonsense. How can we do that? You remember that you gave us back the money that we bought for the first round of food, and we have returned those money. We have given you some gifts, and also we pay you for this round of food. Whoever you find the silver cup, let him be killed, and we will be your slaves. Of course, the butler said, no way, you don't need to be our slaves. Only one of you stole that, and whoever stole that would be the slave of my master. Of course, we all know the story then. They searched for the sack of every one of them, and then all they could find was the silver cup in the sack of Benjamin. Now, the Bible spent a lot of times, spent a lot of narratives in portraying that. I think for good reasons. Of course, we all know that these 10 brothers of Benjamin all returned with Benjamin to Egypt. I think the narrator, the Bible author, was trying to contrast what happened 22 years ago when these 10 brothers took the colored clothing of Joseph
and went back to see their father.
And leaving Joseph with the Ishmaelites, going to Egypt alone. But now, after 22 years, this group, the same brothers, the same 10 brothers, was willing to go back to Egypt with the beloved son of their father. Very interesting. Spent a lot of time. But anyway, after they went back, Judah was the one that talked to Joseph. And then after he talked to Joseph, the third time that it was recorded that Joseph cried, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried, "Oh, have everyone leave my presence." So everyone except the 11 brothers. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him and the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Okay? Heard about it. Okay? Heard about it. About it. About what? About his crying or about the crying itself. Okay? Now, so the narrator or the Bible's author might be a little bit exaggerated in portraying that crying. But even that, he cried very loudly. Now, of course, you have to ask, why? Why so? Why cry? Why cry so loudly? Chapter 44, the latter part of chapter 44, record the saying of Judah. If you analyze the saying of Judah, I think that you'll understand the reason why he cried. If you look at those about 12 verses, basically the argument of Judah was not, "Hey, forget it. How can we take your silver cup? If we take your silver cup, basically we won't give you back the original money that you have given back to us. And we were honest. And we don't need your silver cup." He did not argue that. Rather, he said that, "Take me. Take me as a replacement of Benjamin." Because why? Because my father, our father, you know that phrase, "our father," happens 14 times in that section. 14 times. And again, the phrase, "If you did not let my father see his beloved son, he would bring his gray hair down to Sheol in sorrow." Twice happened. So he was trying to plead, "Joseph, have pity on our father. Have pity on our father. Have pity on our father." And then Joseph cried because he could not hold his emotion anymore. Now, of course, you have to ask the questions. How come that Joseph, after becoming Pharaoh's second-hand man, did not immediately go back to Canaan and tell his father that he was still alive? For the last 9 years, he was free, and not only free, he was the second-hand man of Pharaoh. I got, I think, two reasons. The first reason, I think that you can say that he was very busy, right? 7 years of plentiful, and then also after that, he needed to take care of the drought, the famine. But mind you, even he went back to Canaan, he did not know whether his brothers were really regretful or sorry about their wrongdoing against him. And mind you, even though he was the second-hand man of Pharaoh, in Canaan, he was just an ordinary citizen. So he wanted to make sure that this group, his brothers, really felt sorry and were regretful of their wrongdoings. But with the saying of Judah, he was so clear that his brothers now were sorry. And not only that, that was the time that he needs to go back and think of his brother and think of his father and let his father know that he was still alive. Have we ever cried knowing that we sin against our Heavenly Father? Have we ever cried because no one in the church is really serving for our Lord, our Heavenly Father? And then, of course, you know, the fourth time is very, very easy to understand. Then he threw his arms around his brother Benjamin and wept, and Benjamin embraced him, weeping. And he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. Afterward, his brothers talked with him. Now, the Bible offer deliberately distinguish between the crying with Benjamin and the crying with the 10 brothers, right? By putting two verses. The first verse, verse 14, he threw his arms with Benjamin, and then they cried, okay, embrace him and weeping. Apparently, that was more intimate than the ordinary gesture of just kiss his brothers and wept over them. But I want you to note the phrase after that. Afterwards, his brothers talk with him. Afterward, his brother talked with him. I don't know what you think after you see this. I think this is very, very unimaginable to put such a phrase like that. Why? Because, of course, they would talk to each other. What else would they do? You know, sometimes when we see, you know, people that have been lost for a while, or maybe due to whatever reasons, tsunami or maybe earthquake, and they could not find each other, but now, oh, they find each other. And they, when they see each other, they will embrace and then cry over each other, and then they will talk, right? They will talk. Oh, forgive me, you know, I didn't recognize you. I left you alone, blah, blah, blah. Of course. They won't say, wait a minute, I need to go to the bathroom, okay? Of course, they talk to each other. So why they have to say afterward, his brother talk with him? Only if you go back to chapter 37. Verse 4. And his brothers saw their father love him more than all his brothers, and so they hate him and could not speak to him on friendly terms. Why the Bible author state a little bit, not necessarily, this phrase, afterward his brothers talked with him? Because that was an inclusio. The narrator, the author of the Bible, tried to state one thing. Now they were reconciled. They used not to talk to each other. At least the 10 brothers did not talk to Joseph. But now, after this embracing, they talk to each other. Why they cry? It's because there's a reconciliation with his brothers. Is there anyone in this church? Is there anyone in your school? Is there anyone in your workplace? Is there anyone that you could think of that you could not talk to him or her? Maybe you need some tears of reconciliation. Last but not least, the last chapter of Genesis. After Jacob died, Joseph's brothers saw that their father was dead. They said, what if Joseph holds a grudge against us and pays us back for all the wrongs we did to him? So they sent word to Joseph, saying, your father left these instructions before he died. This is what you are to say to Joseph. I ask you to forgive your brothers the sins and the wrongs they commit in treating you so badly. Now, please forgive the sins of the servants of the God of your father. When the message came to him, the last time it was recorded in Genesis, that Joseph wept. Why so? Why Joseph wept? Of course, we have to look at verse 18, right? Let's look at verse 18, if you have your Bible. Chapter 50, verse 18. Why did he weep? Verse 18, he says, Then his brothers also came and fell down before him and said, "Behold, we are your servant." But Joseph said to them, "Do not be afraid, for am I in God's place? Am I in God's place?" Joseph wept. And then when his brothers came, fell down before him, Joseph even said, "Am I in God's place? Why did you make up such a lie?" You know, I think it was a lie. No way that if it was stated by Jacob before his death, he would have called upon all 12 brothers every month or every week or even every day. "Hey, come on, guys. I know that you have wronged Joseph, but after I die, do not do anything, Joseph, to your brothers who have wronged you." Joseph did not need to be reminded of that. I'm sure that this was a make-up statement, event by the 10 brothers. Joseph knew. So Joseph said, "How? How? How can you do that to me? Why don't you trust me? Am I in God's place?" And I think this phrase summarized the whole story of Joseph. Am I in God's place? Yes, you try to wrong me, but God is in my side. Have you ever cried because someone wronged you? Have you ever cried that because you feel you are betrayed? You feel that you are being wronged? You feel that you should not be treated that way? Am I in God's place? Two sons of Joseph, one called Manasseh, one called Ephraim. The meaning of the names are, God make us forget, and God magnified me. Why do we cry? Well, sometimes it's okay to cry for our smartphone, dysfunctioning smartphone. Okay, especially if that is a lemon. Sometimes it's okay to cry because of the dent in the car, if it is hit and run. Sometimes it is important to cry over the death of your beloved dog or pet. But more important, cry for the mission, maturity, ministry, membership, and magnification of our Lord. Let us pray. Our dear Father, we want to thank you for today. We want to thank you for all the things you have done in this church. We ask for your special blessings be upon the pastoral team, the deacons, the different departmental chairpersons, all the parishioners of this church, and all those people who are going to come to this church. Be with us and continue to hear our prayers. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.